You are listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. August the 9th, 2021. Here we are, approaching the new school season. Many schools already in session, and many others opening this week. I remember, in fact, I was talking about this just a day or two ago. I remember we didn't go to school until after Labor Day was over. But now it seems that schools are opening earlier and earlier and starting their new season in the middle of summer. Here we are, first week going into the second week of August. Temperatures in many areas well into the 90s. This is a great concern for many areas because schools often do not have AC. I remember as a high schooler even not having AC and having windows open and really having just more hot air being blown into our rooms and school buildings, and it didn't do a whole lot to cool anyone off. It actually helped to increase the tensions that hot weather can often bring. In my area along the East Coast and the Gulf Coast, we have seen a lot of concern that because of the COVID, the new numbers coming out, more than 100,000 new COVID cases this past week, whether you believe in it or not. It is a virus, and many concerns throughout the school systems as to whether or not this is going to be another one of those school years when we see children learning virtually from home. In fact, some parents already making that decision. They will not send their children to school. Other school systems now implementing masks again. They're saying for 9 weeks in some cases. Let's look at the first 3 months. Let's see what happens. Let's see if things go back down as more people become inoculated. Let's see if our students get sick. Let's see what the numbers look like in 3 months. And so they're saying, until then, wear a mask. Of course, we've seen other areas that are mandating vaccines for employees, public safety, state employees, school employees, and many others. And of course, we know that the headlines are telling us a war, a war of wits is about to take place. Biden saying, I'm sending people door to door to make sure that everyone gets the vaccine, whether they want it, need it, or like it, too bad. And thus, that brings about a lot more hostility and chaos. And I mentioned on social media over the weekend, this is just deja vu for Civil War uprising. Now, it's words. It's vaccines, it's race, it's all of these things being put out in the forefront, causing conflict. It is a sad day in America when we are treated like communists and forced to do things that we don't believe in and don't want. We are not through the storms. Some battles may have been won, but the war rages on. Violence across the country against police and security is another large issue. And today we're talking about that violence. We're talking about how we can make a difference. We're talking about the wars of words. Many sad news articles this past week. We need to address these. Last week on our radio program, we talked about slow down, think, assess, consider the totality of the situation before you jump into it headlong without considering all of these things and maybe come out on the other side injured, dead, or arrested. And that's exactly what happened this past week. But first, let's talk about this bold headline coming out Saturday. 4 private security officers murdered in just 4 days. Keith Holliday was just starting his shift Thursday night, police said, when he was shot. Police believe it was a confrontation about a trespass notice that had been previously issued. The shooter is on the run, police looking for him. Little Rock, an unidentified security officer murdered early Friday morning at an apartment complex. Tulsa, Oklahoma, a security officer working at a nightclub, a bar, was shot and killed early Saturday morning, and police are saying that this all arised from some type of incident inside the bar when 38-year-old Nathan Hall, the security officer, got into a fight with Chris Bratton and 2 others in the parking lot. Why would they move to the parking lot? Why participate in this? We don't know, but we know it left a security officer dead. Also coming out of Louisville, Kentucky, duty deputy sheriff for Jefferson County, Kentucky Sheriff's Department, 26 years old, only on the job for 2 years, was working off duty. At a Louisville car dealership when someone, and we do not know who, he has not been captured, crept up onto Brandon Shirley, 26, as he sat in an unmarked vehicle and opened fire on the deputy, hitting him at least twice. Now, investigators from the Louisville Metro Police say the deputy still was alive and had the wherewithal to grab his portable 2-way radio and call for help, but died soon after arriving at the hospital. Although working as a security officer, he was a deputy sheriff. This past week, 4 security officers killed, murdered, in 4 days. And this does not take into consideration of the 9 other security officers from coast to coast that were shot last week, including 2 Nashville security officers shot at the Smile Direct Club, a manufacturer in Nashville, by an active shooter who turned out to be a current employee. Though the security officers were armed, police did not say if they engaged the active shooter. We know that he shot a total of 5 people, 2 security officers, 1 very critical still today. And we are sending our prayers and condolences and keeping track of this security officer, and we'll report back if we know any upgrade or changes in his condition. This has been a hellacious, tumultuous, terrible in private security, and I haven't even told you the half of it. When we come back, I'll tell you the other part of the terror, the violence, and the continual chaoticness that continues to plague private security, and yet no one's paying attention. No one is listening. No one is caring. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. And in this day and age, we need body armor. Every security person should be wearing body armor, regardless of the account, the time of day, or the city or state. It doesn't matter the assignment. You need to be protected. Body Armor USA, we've got protective clothing, some of the best body armor around, slash-resistant gloves. If you work corrections, law enforcement, security, don't miss out on the valuable products that Body Armor USA has. Check them out today online, bodyarmorusa.com, or give them a call. We'll be right back.
Why? Why take a chance? Why risk a mistake? Why say something? We all have reasons why we choose to ignore the things that give us pause, that seem out of place, that don't feel right. The word why can either paralyze us or empower us to stand up and protect what we love. So if you see something, why do you say something?
I see safe for my family.
I see safe for my friends.
I see safe so that they are safe.
We see safe for each other.
I see safe because all of this matters.
We all have something worth protecting. A why that unifies the community we're all a part of. So protect your everyday.
Report suspicious activity to local authorities. If you see something, say something.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jacket.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
Welcome back. We do have a lot of breaking news coming over the wires over the last 3 or 4 days. Oklahoma City, a security officer was hospitalized there after being run over by a stolen pickup truck. The on-duty security officer working at the insurance auto auction facility off Interstate 35 saw someone breaking in to the facility and jumping into a truck. He tried to physically stop the vehicle from leaving the property when he was ran over by the driver. The security officer, identified as Douglas Ward, was injured, was hospitalized. We don't know to the extent. The suspect is still on the run. Violence also plagues us across the country from east to west on a daily basis, but the frustrating part for us here at Private Officer is that no one really seems to care, and if they do, they're not speaking up. A a security officer, loss prevention agent working at the Gap in Newark, New Jersey, had his nose broken and repeatedly punched and assaulted during a robbery at the Gap outlet. Police say that a woman walked into the store about 1:15, grabbed a bag full of items, began to leave. She actually had gone into a storage area to pick up some other items when confronted by LP, who got into a confrontation. A black male appeared, ran in, and began beating up the LP agent as well, and they both fled, and they are wanted right now. Of course, you may know that a police officer, a Pentagon police officer, George Gonzalez, was stabbed to death. No provocation, no reason whatsoever. He was at the Pentagon's transit center doing a routine foot patrol when a man got out of a bus, a Metro bus, approached the police officer, began stabbing him in the neck. Responding officers were able to fatally shoot the suspect. Unfortunately, Officer Gonzalez lost his life. Also was a rookie, less than 2 years on the force. Coming out of the Metro Atlanta area, Cobb County, just to the northwest of the city, two armored truck robberies. One security officer was shot this past week, but the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, and multiple police agencies assisting in the investigation quickly worked up a suspect, was able to track him down. Glennis Harris, 28, out of Vallejo, California, got into a pursuit, was shot by FBI agents. He is charged with those two robberies. The Brink security officer who was shot is in stable condition, currently in the hospital. A woman has been charged with attempted murder of a security officer. This also took place in Oklahoma. The woman, according to police, is a Native American from Indian country, and therefore Carrie Dawn Alvarez, 20, is now charged with federal charges, arrested by the FBI and not local police, for shooting at a security officer when he approached her to see what she was doing in the parking lot. The security officer was wearing bulletproof vest, only received minor injuries. Now the woman is charged with assault with intent to commit murders and several other federal offenses. I'm telling you, violence, violence, violence is everywhere. Another woman charged in Florence, South Carolina this weekend with attempted murder of another security officer. Police say a fight broke out at the 507 Live Bar. Security attempting to break it up. The woman pointed a gun at him and shot him in the chest. Police arriving on scene was able to make the arrest. The security officer is looking like he's going to survive. Another incident coming out of Hemet, California. Also this week, Friday, last week, Friday, August the 6th, the incident also began at a popular fast food restaurant. Some type of confrontation ensued. That seems to be the running theme of this last week. Police are saying that some type of confrontation occurred. The security officer shot and killed the attacker. Police on scene said that the 43-year-old security officer admitted to shooting the man and that there had been a fight. Police are still investigating. Also coming out of Atlanta just over the weekend, here's another confrontation, another situation. This happened at a restaurant early Saturday morning. This was a situation where a man with a long metal pipe who was in a wheelchair was attempted to gain entrance at the Midtown Diner on Peachtree. The altercation broke out, the security officer denying access. The man, between the age of 25 and 35, was able to step up out of the wheelchair and raise a long metal bar toward the security officer when he was shot and fatally killed. These are just some of the incidents that have occurred in the past week. And yet, no one is listening, and no one cares, and no one gets involved, whether it's our own people from the security industry or the public or security company owners for the most part. It's just an ongoing saga that we can't seem to understand why no one is speaking of. Also coming out of New Jersey, this was in Deptford, New Jersey. A private security officer working at a restaurant Wednesday attacked a man with a dog, sicked the dog on the man, all because the person called him a white negative name, profanity. So the security officer took the dog, which is in the video, and charged after the man who said that and had the dog bite the man several times on the leg. That security officer has been charged with several counts of felony assault. In most states, they do not allow security to use canines for defensive purposes. They can be used for weapon search. They can be used for patrolling. But this is a situation that was unwarranted. It was excessive force. And again, looking at social media, many security officer comments was on the side of the security officer arrested. In fact, one security officer on Facebook commented, "Well, you know, if that had been my dog, he would have mauled that man. He would have mauled him." I mean, coming out of Baltimore, Maryland, an off-duty 25-year-old security officer was murdered by his roommate. Jonathan Lee Bowman is charged with first-degree murder, two weapon offenses, after the killing of Demetrius Henry at an apartment. One thing after the other. One thing after the other. Security is a big industry with a lot of employees, bigger than law enforcement. So yes, you are going to see these type of incidents. Yes, you're going to see security in the news day in and day out. No different than law enforcement, the fire service, or any other large professional group. Understand that this is, although in many ways sad, it is the truth of any profession. Police officers, security officers, teachers, firefighters, they're humans. They have problems. They make mistakes. For better or for worse, these things do happen. Also, I noticed something interesting in the news, and that was that the city of Alexandria, Virginia, that they recently, in May, fired all of the school resource officers. They reallocated $789,000 to mental health resources. Now, I got to tell you, I know that children, teens, and adults have issues, but I've never seen so many attribute their problems to mental health. Are we all just going down that path, emotionally charged individuals, people that can't control ourselves, people who want to just blame mental health on everything? Well, now that school, Alexandria City Public School Superintendent, is asking the school system to give them about $185,000 for the first part of the school season because he needs security people. He wants to put security officers back into the schools, unarmed, no police authority, just a presence to observe and report. Observe and report. Forget the fact that active shooters don't care what uniform you're wearing or what it says on the badge or on the nameplate or anything else. So you're going to be there making $12 to $15 an hour protecting the schools, but you have no authority and you have no way of protecting yourself. We're coming right back. We've got a lot of information to talk about. We want to tell you about a couple of great new courses, our upcoming memorial service, and so much more. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. And if you are in the Charlotte metro area, and that includes South Carolina, be sure to check out Premier Training Academy. They offer firearms training, private security for North Carolina, and SLED security in South Carolina. Their phone number is area code 704-806-4933. Easily accessible, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142, right there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Ross.
From coast to coast, cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
Chamoka Furman has finally come forward 5 months after she was involved in a very heroic incident. This young female security officer was on duty at the time that the Surfside Champaign Towers South building collapsed in Surfside, Florida on June the 4th, a very terrifying incident. Now, it took us close to 2 months to track down who was there in security. Were there any deaths? Because we were hearing that there had been. And what injuries were sustained by security, if any? Now, this past week, the security officer involved that night, we knew that one person at least had been injured. But she finally came forward to speak with the media there in Florida this past week. She said that she was on duty, that it was terrifying, and that it was a experience like none other that she could have ever imagined. She spoke with Local 10 News and said that she had been working at that complex for 5 months when it all tumbled down and 98 people were killed. She was the one who made the original 911 phone call. Residents called her at first, asking, "What's going on? We feel the building shaking." She told them she thought that it might be an earthquake and to evacuate the building immediately. She then ran across the parking lot to where the building was beginning to tumble down. She said she got inside and she could remember the shaking of the building and the trembling of the ground and just how the whole thing felt like it was just one big earthquake about to just cave in everything around her. She didn't know what to do. And you can imagine, it was scary, horrifying. She said to the reporters this past week, all but for the grace of God, she would not have escaped. She crawled out a window that had a broken glass in it. It was dark. There was noise. There were people screaming. She was able to crawl through the rubble and out the broken window as people were screaming and crying for help and praying and haunting noises all around her. She remembers the cries of several people that asked, "Please don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me." Furman said the trauma of that tragedy is still with her today, and she's unable to work. And it has been extremely difficult. Post-traumatic syndrome has set in. Even this moment, she remembers the dying, the sounds, the crying, the yelling. There were residents trapped. She could hear them screaming, terrified. So she said she crawled back through the broken window into the rubbish, the debris, climbed over cars, got it back into the building to try to help others. She said not only were there tons of debris and bodies, but water seeping in, flooding some areas from the broken pipes. But she made her way as far as she could back through the building. She said she was able to help an entire family to escape and another woman who was badly injured. She said she was covered with bruises from head to toe. She's a hero, a survivor, someone to be recognized. She said, unfortunately, her only possession in life was a used vehicle that her deceased mother had left to her. It had been parked in the visitor's parking spot near the pool where the building came crumbling down onto it. She is suffering and has not been recognized by anyone. No one, she says to the reporter, has reached out to her, not even her own employer, which was Securitas. No one from their office had provided, according to her, any assistance, including getting her signed up and submitted through workers' comp for her time off, for her injuries, for her needed therapy. She says she needs help, but there's no one that's reached out to her, and she doesn't know who to reach out to. Well, we're trying to contact her. This young lady was heroic in her actions. This young woman, I'm certain, didn't know which way to go, what to do first, but she did her best. And to hear the fact that she has not been recognized, she has not been compensated, she has not received workers' comp, she has not received therapy, she has not been able to recover her used vehicle to purchase another used vehicle, and she has no transportation currently, is saddening. A GoFundMe was GoFundMe page was set up. Currently, she had hoped to get about $8,000 to purchase a vehicle, but it's much less than that. We have to help her. Go to GoFundMe. If you can give $5 or $10, $25, please do that. Again, you know, her name is Shamoka Furman, and we're going to be trying to reach out to her as well. But this is a heroic woman, but a terrible end to the story because there is no end yet. She hasn't been compensated. She hasn't been assisted. Workers' compensation should have already been filed, and she should have already had it. We will certainly do our best to see how we can assist her. If you'd like to participate, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. There are many people like this. We told you about a case about 2 months ago. A woman violently, viciously attacked while working at a hospital security department in North Carolina. She received multiple serious injuries, and she has yet to be compensated. She's had to sue the hospital. She's out of work collecting minimal workers' compensation, which is about to end. We need to do better for our people, and certainly we need to join together and see if we can't make a difference, not only here in this young woman's life, but in the hundreds and thousands of others that are injured in uniform on the job every single year and go without being assisted, compensated, paid. You know, besides all of the workers' comp, a lot of these people have PTSD. A lot of these people suffer emotionally afterwards, after experiencing such grave violence, catastrophes, and they need to talk with someone, and we need to assist them. If you want to be involved, please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember, reach out to Shamoka Furman's GoFundMe page and help her. A couple of bucks here and there will definitely make a difference. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today, in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
What am I doing lying in this casket? Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm dead. I got shot. I'm not supposed to be dead. I'm only 17. And now I can't see my 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother was devastated. Can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. and everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do. How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
Brought to you by Man Up Inc. USA, a proud member of the Gun Violence Awareness Movement.
Always a lot of news happening every week. We're always searching out for those topics that are relevant to the security, public safety, and law enforcement industry. And we are on it 24/7, 7 days a week, even during the holidays. Our team is covering over 3,000 news feeds now, press releases, direct messages, and other methods of checking for news topics. Remember, if you want to check out our daily news blog, you can do so. Go to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. That's privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. And be sure to sign up for our breaking news, officer down reports, and upcoming training updates. Go to our website at G. And if you want to launch a new service, a new business, a new product, or you just want to advertise or market your current business, Private Officer International offers a number of all-inclusive methods for you to do that at a low, low cost. You can get your business out in front of 5 million people, 5 million people in our combined social media, websites, radio shows, and other products, and it's all very inexpensive. Sponsor Private Officer, sponsor this radio show. All that you have to do is market your product or your service for an all-inclusive one price. One price will include us marketing your business on our websites, on our social media sites, the radio show, and every other location that we have or use. Contact us right now at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember, this year, Private Officer International will once again start our memorial service ride and conduct numerous memorial services between September and October 1st. If your business or you yourself would like to sponsor a memorial service at your location, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. The memorial service honors those private security officers and private law enforcement who have been killed in the line of duty. We educate the public. We have had a lot of great response over the years, a lot of media attention. And if you would like to be part of this very special memorial this year, please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Several businesses have come together, including several here at POI, and we are sponsoring a very low-cost program, 10-week online program called Sexual Assault, Child and Elder Abuse. With more than 1.6 million private security officers and private police officers patrolling every day, we see things, we hear things, We know things that many times law enforcement do not, and they count on us to report them. And in some places, we may even be what's called a mandatory reporter. Well, right now, for just $99, you can take this special 10-week program, be educated in signs of sexual abuse, elder abuse, child abuse, working in the schools, working in the apartment complexes, working out amongst the people. Oftentimes we see things and don't really realize that we've seen it. It's like the trees through the forest. It's there. We're looking at it, but we're not really grasping it. We're not really getting the full informational effect because we may not realize what we're seeing. It's important that private security, public safety, loss prevention, law enforcement, private or public, stay on top of current events. And sexual assaults are skyrocketing, and security officers are often involved in these situations. Elder and child abuse is everywhere, everywhere. Even in private or state-run facilities for those convalescing, those elderly people, there's abuse there as well. And many security officers work at those facilities. And sometimes they know what's happening and sometimes they don't. Right now, we have come together, multiple businesses, to offer a $300 scholarship, leaving your total cost for this course for just $99. Go to armorcollege.org, armorcollege.org. Right there on the header, there will be an invitation to take this course. We've put together courses that are significant, relevant, and current. And many private officers these days are really on the front line now more than ever with the lack of police, the defund the police, officers being stretched thin and unable to be everywhere all the time. And now private officers have taken that place. We're going to take a quick break. Coming right back, we got a lot more to say on this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio.
A crisis, everybody. Now, most of you have seen me wearing my signature mask on a plane. I love wearing it when I fly. I tend to get my own row 99% of the time. It's simple. Just wear the mask and cough. Because who wants to sit next to this guy? I don't blame you. And I went from being the only one on a plane wearing a mask to now everybody is doing it. Out in public, the park, at the mall, at the post office, with their girlfriend, with their husband, with their husband's girlfriend. We need to help our doctors, our nurses, and our healthcare workers who are fighting COVID-19 head on. And we need to make sure they don't acquire the virus. These frontliners have been running out of personal protective equipment, PPE. People have asked me, Kayvon, are you down with PPE? Are you down with PPE? Are you down with PPE? I'm like, yeah, you know me. Yeah, you know me. The CDC has been forced to downgrade the need for N95 masks, the surgical masks, now down to bandanas because of a lack of supplies. Does this seem like a good idea to you? Hi, I'm your doctor. I'm also here to rob your bank. Bandanas? Scarves? What kind of PPE is that? One more. This is one of the easiest ways you can be a hero. So if you're a healthcare provider in need, or if you have supplies you can donate, there are a lot of groups leading the effort. Start with the PPE Coalition. They're a great resource, and they can get you pointed in the right direction. So there you have it. Be a hero, make a donation, and help a frontline healthcare professional. After all, their health right now is in your hands. And while you're at it, wash those too. If you don't, you're disgusting.
Yeah, you know me. Yeah, you know me. Yeah, you know me.
Coming up in just a few weeks, a sneak peek at a brand new docuseries, Missing in Uniform, a production of RAMCO and Private Officer International is sponsoring this sneak peek. Be sure to be checking out your emails for this exclusive behind-the-scenes Missing in Uniform, featuring two different cases over a 40-year period where two missing private security officers went missing. And, well, let's just say they weren't found right away, if at all. This exclusive documentary offers many never before known behind the scenes look at what happens when private security officers vanish while on duty and in uniform. Be sure to be checking out your emails in a couple of weeks right after Labor Day vacation is over. We're going to be previewing our brand new Frontline TV platform. And as a special to you, a sneak peek behind the scenes of these two private security officers that went missing in uniform.
More than 1,000 acres. Woodlands. Lakes. Fields and marshlands. Rivers and dams. Locks and fields. Concrete and buildings. Officers patrolling day and night around the clock to keep the peace and to keep those workers, visitors, and staff safe. But many areas were hard to get to. Many areas were dark, dangerous. Climbing on top of those large dams, slippery rocks and walkways. Rainy days and hot sun, snow flurries and gale force winds. The weather does not stop the mailman, they say, nor did it stop those hired to protect a city within the city. But one night, as an officer patrolled his beat, the call went out from the dispatcher, Post 7. Post 7, check in. Check in, Post 7. But there was no answer. Where was this officer? What happened to him? Did he meet with foul play? Was something sinister afoot? Where is he? Post 7, dispatch calling. Post 7, where are you? But there was no answer.
VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst. And I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Get sharp. What we do is serious business.
Three-quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever, with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me,
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit everydayherocc.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
This week, we're turning our attention for just a few minutes to the nightclub security scene and all of the issues that have gone on in this area of security for dozens and dozens of years, dating way back to the actual bouncer, the doorman, who would be there for no other reason than to be the muscle of the club. And we're seeing a resurgence of vengeful employees and contract security personnel that not only don't adhere to the law and aren't there necessarily to protect anyone, but rather to see if they can't get involved in a scuffle, a fight, muscle against muscle. And unfortunately, what we're seeing in the last few years, but even more so during this defund the police period, is that many people call themselves security officers are not securing anything. They're not upholding the law. They are, in fact, many times interfering with police. And this continues to be a concerning aspect of the security industry. And just in the last few weeks, law enforcement having held a press conference in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Police have spoke out in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and Cleveland, and in other areas about this rogue style of providing security. So this week, we want to address a couple of things. I know that some of you are listeners that work in this specific area of security, either in-house or as a contract security agent. And maybe you do your job the way that it's supposed to be done. Maybe you are a professional. Maybe you adhere to the law. Maybe you are one of those people that do it the right way. But unfortunately, as we all know, if we've ever been to a nightclub, a bar, or any place where they serve alcohol, we have a lot of different components that make up that atmosphere. We have people who are intoxicated, sometimes carrying weapons. We have people who are under the influence of narcotics, who suddenly are bulletproof and 10 feet tall. We have security personnel oftentimes that have not been screened. They have not gone through a rigid or otherwise background check by their employer. There are a number of states that still do not license nightclub security, aka bouncers. They do not require them to obtain any type of training, much like a uniformed security officer would have to take. And oftentimes, as we have seen through the 18 years that Private Officer International has now been in business, we can tell you, we can quote you the verse and the chapter and document not only a few times, but hundreds of times where these type of unlicensed security agents, and yes, they are security agents, as long as they are employed in a position of security and that they are abiding by the state statutes, whether that be licensed or unlicensed, they still are under the classification of private security, not contract, but proprietary. And we have seen so many times that private proprietary security officers are just those people who are there to be muscles, to stop the fights, but also to tangle with anyone who doesn't want to adhere to the rules or listen to the directions of that security agent. In the last 6 to 12 months, we have seen more than a dozen occasions everywhere from Nashville and Atlanta to Virginia and beyond. These nightclub security personnel not adhering to law enforcement requests. There was a situation a number of months ago where a man was shot. Police arrived. Security on scene said, "We've got this. It's covered. Don't worry about it. This is our area. This is our business. We're here to protect it. We don't need you." In fact, it happened twice within a matter of 1 month. Police forcing their way in Nashville into the nightclub and getting help for the person shot. Interfering with law enforcement officers is a criminal offense. And when you're supposed to be security, when you're supposed to be that protector that's upholding the law, and then you interfere with law enforcement, EMS, fire service, shame on you. That's not doing your job. That's not being cooperative. That's not someone who's a professional. That's just a rogue-minded person who's calling themselves security, and they should be arrested and charged just like anyone else would be. Just this past week in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, a place where they've had previous issues with fire security this past year, they had several situations. One situation, it was pretty simple. Music was loud. They asked the security officers to please tell management to turn it down. They turned their back on the police officers and walked away. Like, who are you to tell me what to do? Another situation, there were fights. Police arrived only to find numerous bar security staff just standing there watching the entertainment, the fight, not trying to break it up. They weren't even the ones to call police. They were just standing there looking like this was some type of boxing match or fight that's, you know, this is like all normal, and it's not normal whatsoever. Police should have arrested those security officers as well. In a regulatory state where security, proprietary, or contract is licensed, these people would be losing their license. They would go up and be put up before the regulatory board and have their license suspended or revoked, as they should. But unfortunately, many areas still do not license proprietary security, whether that's loss prevention, proprietary office security, uniform security. And, you know, unfortunately, when you have this situation, it's hard to regulate those people. And unless they actually cross the line of committing an actual violation of the law, it's hard for police to try and take some type of actions against those security personnel. Just a few months ago in Indiana, security at a nightclub. I believe that this is a situation that just, this is appalling. Security officers, again, a fight, people injured, reports of gunshots, security blocked police from even entering the parking lot. They would not allow them to search inside the bar. Supervisors and officers from other departments were called in as backup, and they forced police around it, went in from the back entrance as well as the front, and found several injured parties. These security officers delayed and interfered with law enforcement, and they were arrested for that charge. But here's something that's even more egregious. Imagine that these injured parties die on the floor, not because EMS wasn't there, not because police didn't get called, not because they didn't respond immediately, but because they could not get to them fast enough. They could not provide first aid immediately. They could not render the services necessary to save their lives. Forget the lawsuits. Forget shutting down the nightclubs. Let's talk about the fact that these private security officers interfered and delayed. Now, on the other hand, there are many, many situations that come across our news desk being reported across the country. There are many, many, many cases where private security bouncers, if you want to call them that, security officers, if they're a contract agency, whatever you want to call them, stepped in and they detained people involved in stabbings and shootings. We just had one this past weekend. The security officer immediately, as soon as there was a shooting, immediately took defensive actions, immediately got the person in custody. Another shooting in South Carolina, Florence, South Carolina, a female shot and killed someone inside the bar. Security shot her and then detained her. Police arrived. These security officers risked their life. There's so many different components happening within the nightclub scene, the adult club scene, the restaurants that serve alcohol. Every single week, we see dozens of incidents, good and bad. We need to recognize those who are doing the right thing, just like any place in the security field. But we want to damn those who do the wrong thing. And we want to make sure that if they are interfering, delaying law enforcement, EMS, fire service, they're not really a professional and they shouldn't be working in the industry. Many times here at Private Officer International, we receive information about those who are doing the right thing. And if you see someone that needs to be recognized, whether it's at the club or at the store or any place, send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I believe that without national regulatory laws, without some type of national standard, whether it be at a nightclub or a restaurant or an office complex or a shopping mall, without some type of national standard, we'll continue to see these issues. Casinos have the same problem. You know what? Casinos are really small towns within the town, and there's a lot of different criminal activity, felonies and federal charges happening there, things that really have to be handled immediately by true public safety professionals, and in many cases they are. I've been to some of these resort casinos where they have more on-staff security personnel and EMTs than that town had police officers, many more. Go to Las Vegas. Some of those largest of casinos and resorts are well-staffed, well-equipped, armed and unarmed professionals who can take on just about anything that's happened, especially after the shooting that occurred a number of years ago where there was a great loss of life at a country music festival just outside Casino Row there. We have great people and we have poor people, but in the nightclub industry, in areas where we really have to be on our toes at all times, we can't afford to have just anyone there. It's so embarrassing when you see the headlines, security guard arrested for killing a guy at the nightclub. And then you read, oh, he had a felony. Oh, he's been in prison. Oh, he's really a criminal himself. And yet he was allowed to be in that profession because that area, that state, that city didn't require a background check, didn't require training, didn't require anything, just hired him off the street. Like, you know, he was going to be working as a dishwasher or a stocker at, you know, Walmart. It's embarrassing, my friend. Nightclub security, we got to do better. If you work in nightclub security, be a leader, be a professional. Make sure that you understand the ramifications of the job. It's not all about checking IDs and, you know, throwing the person who's causing a disturbance out the front door. I talked to someone a couple of years ago in Florida. He said, well, in Florida, we're allowed to kick them out literally, physically, whatever way we have to. And I checked the law. Trespassers can be manhandled a little bit to get them off the property. And so they were using this law to literally just you know, like in the old days, grab someone by the scruff of their neck and their butt and just toss them out the front door. In most states, that's still called assault, battery. And so you have to be careful. In the nightclub, restaurant industry where we're serving alcohol, where we have intoxicated people coming in, we need to be alert as to who we're letting in through the front door. I know that many places really have in years past not been too really concerned about who came in, but now they are. They're checking IDs and they have ID verification systems. They're checking for weapons. They're winding people down. Of course, sometimes people do slip through. I know that overall nightclub security has changed and they are doing a better job. But then you read these articles where they interfered. They wouldn't let law enforcement in to attend to somebody who's been shot and so forth. This is where you, the professional, should really step up and call these places out and say, get with it. Either get in line and be professional or get out of the business. If you are a security company owner providing contract security at these businesses, you need to make sure that you're putting the right people in place and that they understand law and order and what their job is and cooperation with local law enforcement, whether they like them or not. One of the things that we know for sure is that some security personnel don't like the police. They've had situations with the police that weren't too pleasant. They know of others who have had encounters with police that may not have gone so great. But as a security professional, just like law enforcement, EMS, and fire service, we have to leave our feelings at the door. We have to leave our feelings at home. When we come to work, we're there to do a job. We have to be, you know, in the middle. We can't take sides. We can't be anti-police. And yet you're enforcing the rules. You're enforcing the laws on the property, but you're anti-police. How does that even make sense? You have to be one or the other. Sometimes you have to be on the middle ground and just not let your feelings and emotions interfere with your job. Nightclub security, unlike many other types of security, is interactive, face-to-face. You're dealing with the public up close and personal in a very crowded, small space. People rubbing up against people literally many times and flowing alcohol everywhere, drugs sometimes, weapons. We've got to be careful. We have to be on our toes. We have to be really someone who understands life, nature, people, a good communicator, a good de-escalator, and someone who understands what the law is and what the law isn't. I applaud everyone who works in these type of environments where people are not easy to get along with. People don't want to be told what to do. People don't want you to tell them that they have to leave the property. They've had too much to drink or they've caused a problem. But that is part of the job. And good for you if you're doing it and doing it successfully. Armor College has several nightclub courses for security and security management. Check them out online at armorcollege.org. Well, we're here for you. If you have questions, you need help, you don't know what you should be doing in your role, whatever that might be, and your employer's not too helpful, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That's going to do it for this episode of the Private Officer Beat. Remember, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.